We all want our lives to count for something. It doesn't matter what background you have, religion, gender, nation, or whatever. We all want to know that our lives matter. Even atheists want to know that their lives have a purpose. But how can you know? If your worldview suggests that your arrival here on Earth was just a result of random circumstance, then the significance of your life is going to be random too. That's why it's so important that you let your belief in God and His Word establish your worldview. The Bible says that God uniquely designed you because He has something for you to do that only you will be able to do with your life. Your life matters because you matter to God. I'm Rick, and I hope you'll join me today on Daily Hope as we look into the Bible to understand God's view of you. God's worldview will make a world of difference in your life.
Today on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren, we continue in a series called Reframing Your Worldview with part three of a message called How Did the World Get So Messed Up? Taken from various portions of Scripture. Here's Pastor Rick.
How do you be happy in a down world full of pain and suffering and sorrow and broken relationships and bad memories? How do you be happy in a broken planet? For that matter, how do you get happy in a planet that has all those problems? Well, you do what Jeremiah did. Jeremiah has the answer for this. Now, Jeremiah was a prophet. Some of you think he was a bullfrog, but he was a prophet. And Jeremiah wrote two books in the Bible. One of them is called the Book of Jeremiah, duh. And he wrote another one called the Book of Lamentations, which is the sorrows. And in Lamentations, he gives his testimony. Here it is on the screen. He says, I cannot find peace or remember happiness. Just thinking of my troubles and my lonely wandering makes me miserable. It's all I ever think about. And I am depressed. Then, here's the good news. I remember something that fills me with hope. You got to have hope to live on a fallen planet. You got to have hope to cope in this earth. I remember something that fills me with hope. The Lord's kindness, that's His grace, never fails. If He, God, had not been merciful, we would have been destroyed. In other words, the only reason we're still around right now, He hadn't pulled the plug yet, it's because of God's grace. The Lord can always be trusted to show mercy each morning. So deep in my heart, I say, Lord, You are all that I need. I can depend on You. That phrase, Lord, You are all that I need, is the answer, the antidote to depression. It's the antidote. It's the key to happiness in a broken, messed up, damaged world. You don't put your trust in people because they're going to let you down. You don't put your trust in circumstances because they're going to disappoint you. You don't put your trust in things because they're not going to last. You put your trust in God and you say, Lord, You are all that I need. I can depend on You. Now, we've seen the reason the world's in a mess. It's sin. I've blown it, you've blown it. Adam blew it. And we've seen the results. Now, here's the question that I've got. Why didn't God just shut the earth down? When He looks down and He sees genocide and suicide and war and rape and murder and people hating each other and people cheating on each other and people being mean, why doesn't He just pull the plug on the planet? Why does He put up with it? He's got the power to just shut it all down. Why doesn't God just close up shop? Why is He allowing a broken planet to limp along for a little bit longer? Because although the world's broken, God is still in control. And history is moving toward a climax. History is His story. And God has three reasons for not shutting down the earth just yet. You need to understand this. You need to know this. Here are the three reasons. Number one, to give us a choice. To give us a choice. Allowing sin in the world, even though it hurts Him. What is sin? It's offense against God. Allowing sin in the world hurts God, but it gives us a clear-cut choice. In Deuteronomy 30 verse 15, He says this, "Today I'm giving you a choice between good and evil, between life and death. See, here's the point. God made you in his image, so you're not like an animal. You are a human being, and that means you have a free moral choice. Animals don't have any choice. They don't have any choice. They just go by instinct. And you have a conscience. And God says, I want you to choose to love me. I don't want you to force you to love me. I want you to choose. I can't say that I really love you unless I have a choice to not love you. And by choosing to love you, then it's voluntary. In other words, I couldn't make my wife Kay fall in love with me. I can't make her stay in love with me. It's her choice. I can't force it. And God says, I'm not going to force you to love me. I'm not going to force you to be a puppet. I'm not going to force you to worship me. You can either love me or not love me. You can believe in my son Jesus or you can reject him. You can go with my purpose for your life or you can go make up your own purpose for your life. I'm going to give you that choice. And that's the good news. Here's the bad news. You must be willing to live with the consequences. While you are free to choose anything you want to do in life, you are not free from the consequences. I'm free tonight after church, go out and shoot up some drugs, but I'm not free from the consequences of it. I'm free to go cheat on my wife, but I'm not free from the consequences of it. I'm free to go murder somebody, but I'm not free from the consequences of it. I'm free to turn my back on God and go do whatever I want to do the rest of my life, but I'm not free from the consequences of it. And if you want to, you can live your entire life doing your own thing and just forget God. But you got to be willing to live with the consequences for eternity. Because that's the choice. So God says, I'm going to give you a choice. And the Bible says this. Ecclesiastes 3:17. In due season, God will judge everything man does, both good and bad. There's going to be a day of accounting where you tell and explain to God why you made the choices on earth that you did. Now, here's the second reason. God is allowing the earth to limp along to show us our need for a Savior. To show us our need for a Savior. You say, what do you mean by that? I'm saying that the worse the world gets, the more we realize we need God. In fact, it's true in your own life. The more messed up your life gets, the more you start realizing, you know, I'm not such a good manager of it myself after all. And you start realizing you have a need for God. And sometimes it takes you being laid out flat on your back to make you look up to God. And if it takes pain, God allow that pain because he cares about you. He loves you. And God says, I'm giving you a choice and I'm helping you see that you need a Savior. That you need a Savior. Because without me in your life, then you just tend to become a subhuman. You stop living by the truth, living with a conscience, and you just do whatever feels good. Well, that's what animals do. Animals don't have a conscience. They just do whatever feels good. You know, they want to go smell something, they smell it. They want to go lick something, they lick it. You know? They don't even care. They don't even care what you think about it. They want to lick it, they'll lick it. Okay? And so they have no conscience. They have no qualms. And a person says, well, I just do whatever I feel. Well, that's called being an animal. Human beings have a conscience. And we don't just do what we feel. We do what's right. And not everything I feel is right. And not everything I, you know, everything that I want to do is not necessarily the best thing to do. And so I do the right thing. Now the Bible says this. God allows people to continue in their sinful ways. So he can test them. And that way they can see for themselves that they're no better than animals. What do you mean by that? It says without God in your life, you tend to just degenerate and start acting like an animal, which is without a conscience. In other words, there are people in this world who have no conscience. And they will say anything to you to get you into bed. Or they will say anything to you to make you buy something that they're selling. Or they will lie to you and they will do anything to get you buy a product that's you'll pay more for that's worth less. They have no conscience. Some of them want to use you. Some of them want to be used by you. Some of them want to abuse you. Some of them want to be abused by you. Annie Lennox, theologian. She was right. She was exactly right. She said, everybody's looking for something. It's true. They're looking for their niche, their gig. She was absolutely right. And God says, you know what? If you don't watch out, you'll get used and abused. And you'll use and abuse others. And I'm helping you see that you need a Savior. You see, human nature is, we don't think we need God. Really, secretly, I think, I don't need God. I can do this living thing on my own. In fact, I actually know more than God does. I actually know what will make me happier more than God does. And when God says, you know, don't do these things in the Bible, well, I happen to like doing those, so I'm going to go ahead and do them because I know what will make me happy more than God. And I don't really think God has my best interests at heart. I don't really think he loves me. I think I know better than God, and so I'll just go ahead and do what I want to do. What do I end up with? Broken heart, broken body, broken dreams, broken promises, broken memories. And God says, I told you. These rules are not for my benefit, they're for your benefit. It's because I love you. You say, well, why do I need a Savior? That's like asking, why do I need air? You were made by God, and without him, you're just living. The Bible says at Christmas, God said Jesus sent Jesus to earth, and they said, behold, unto you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. If you didn't need a Savior, believe me, God wouldn't have wasted the time sending Jesus at Christmas. You need a Savior more than you realize it.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's message called, How Did the World Get So Messed Up? It's from the series Reframing Your Worldview, and we'll continue with more Daily Hope in just a moment. But right now, please be sure to check out rickwarren.org where you can sign up for Pastor Rick's free Daily Hope devotional. You know, thousands of people just like you benefit from Rick's personal and practical emails every day. So please sign up and be encouraged. And while you're at rickwarren.org, you can listen to his latest message, connect with him on Facebook and Twitter, or shop our online store. It's packed with resources to help your walk with God. Find us online today at rickwarren.org. More Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren in just a moment.
The book entitled The Good Life by Pastor Rick's friend and mentor, the late Chuck Colson, asks the hard existential questions like, is there absolute truth? Where do we come from? What does it mean to live a good life? And more. In this revised version, Rick teamed up with Chuck and laid out 6 truth-filled, easy-to-follow lessons that will sharpen your Christian worldview, motivating you to live out your ministry of service and your mission to an unbelieving world. The Good Life by Chuck Colson is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Daily Hope radio broadcast. Request your copy when you call 800-600-5004 or visit rickwarren.org.
And once again, here's Pastor Rick.
There are things in your life that you don't like about yourself. There are things in your life you don't like about you, and you would like to change, but you can't. You say, well, I'm going to change one of these days. No, you're not. If you could have, you would have, but you can't, so you won't. And you don't have the power to change. Paul says it like this. When I want to do good, I don't. And when I try not to do wrong, I do it anyway. That sounds like a lot of people I know. You know, as I travel around the world and I meet different people, I call them FRMs. And I'm going around and go, there's an FRM. What's it mean? Famous, rich, and miserable. I meet them all the time. Famous, rich, and miserable. Why? Because there are things in their lives they'd like to change, and they don't have the power to change it. I could probably give you a list of 100 things that you know would be good for you, and you still don't do them. And I could give you a list of 100 things that you know are bad for you, and you still do them. Why? Because you don't have the power on your own. You need a Savior. You need God in your life. And so he says, I'm allowing the world to go on a little bit so you recognize I'm giving you choice and I'm also showing that you need a Savior. And when your life, the more messed up it gets, the more you go, oh, man, I do need help. Now there's a third reason, and it's to demonstrate his grace. To demonstrate his grace. The Bible says this in 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord isn't being slow about his promise to return, which is, by the way, when he's going to pull the plug on the planet, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. For whose sake? For your sake. He does not want anyone to perish. That means go to hell. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. to be separated for eternity from God. So he's giving more time for everyone to repent. The reason why God puts up with all the grief that he sees on this planet is because he's being patient. And he's waiting for you to step across the line and come to know him. He wants you in his family. Or if you are in this family, he wants you telling your family and your friends and your neighbors, because he wants them in the family too. You see, once the door to the ark is shut and it starts to rain, it's not open in 15 minutes again later. It's over. When God shuts it down, either you die or Jesus comes back, it's over. There's no second chance. So God says, I'm waiting a little bit longer just so people have the opportunity to receive my grace. Now, listen, here's the implication. When somebody comes to you and says, I can't believe in a God or I can't worship a God, or I can't love a God who would callously stand by, callously, unmoved, and watch little children suffer and women be raped. Here's what you say. I don't believe in that kind of God either. In fact, God isn't like that kind of God. In fact, you have no idea it hurts how much it hurts God when he sees all the sin on the earth. It hurts him more than anybody else. And he weeps and he grieves and he says, look what my children are doing. They're abusing each other. They're lying to each other. They're cheating each other. They're killing each other. I didn't mean for them to do that. They're being evil to each other. They're hurting each other. They're gossiping about each other. It hurts God. And God feels it and cares about it every second. And he's grieving. The only reason you grieve is because you're made in God's image. God has emotions and he gave you emotions too. And God feels it much more intentionally. And he feels it far more than you ever will. He's far more worried about women who get raped than you are. You don't think about it all the time. He does. And he's watching it. And he cares about it, and he hates it. He hates it with a passion. And I believe in a God who one day is going to stop evil dead in its tracks. And there's going to be an accounting. And one day he's going to shut down this planet, and he's going to judge all of evil and all of evildoers with a holy wrath of justice and settle the score. And he's going to bring those who love him and are his children and put their faith in him to live with him forever in a perfect place. That's what God's going to do. And the only reason he's holding back his fierce, angry judgment on evil and what it's done to the people he created and all the hurt that it's caused on this planet, people that he's loved and died for, is he's waiting for you to step across the line so he can pull the plug and say, okay, everybody I know who is going to be in is in.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with Daily Hope. In a moment, Rick will be back to share a final thought, but right now, check out the Daily Hope website, rickwarren.org. Log on today, and you can get the entire message you just heard, message notes, social media links. You can sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope devotional. Log on now, rickwarren.org. We also want to let you know about a special gift we have to say thanks for your donation to support the Daily Hope broadcast. It's a very powerful book by the late Chuck Colson called The Good Life. As Pastor Rick shares in the foreword of this helpful book, Chuck Colson was relentless in his pursuit of truth in every area of life, and Chuck brings this passion to bear in The Good Life as he helps you answer hard, existential questions like, is there truth? Is it knowable? What difference does it make? What does it mean to live a good life? Chuck asks and answers these questions in a way that can literally change your life and the lives of those around you. The Good Life is our gift to thank you for your donation of support to this Daily Hope broadcast. So please request your copy when you call us today at 1-800-600-4000. 5004. And if you can, consider giving a little more today to help support this program in your area. We are 100% supported by listeners like you, so we appreciate your gifts, prayers, calls, emails, testimonies, and more. And we would love the chance to pray for you, too. So give us a call today at 1-800-600-5004. And now here's Pastor Rick with a final thought.
There's one thing that everybody in the world agrees on. We may differ on politics, we may differ on religion, we may differ on economics, we may differ on who's the best sports team, but we all agree on this. The world is messed up. We know it's messed up. It's broken. Nothing works perfectly. So what do I do about it? How do I live in a broken, messed up world? Well, let me give you a couple of tips. Number one, receive God's grace daily in your life. Grace is the power to keep going even in a broken world. If God is waiting to shut the world down so he can show his grace, then the first thing you need to do is receive his grace and receive it on a daily basis. The Bible says it like this in Romans 5:17. Through the sins of one man, death began to rule because of that one man. It's talking about Adam and how he blew it. But how much greater is the result of what was done by one other man? That's Jesus Christ. And all who receive God's abundant grace are put right with him, and they will rule in life through Christ. So the first thing I need to do when I look around and see all the brokenness is say, God, I need grace. I not only need it in my life, I need to offer it to everybody else. But I need to live by grace. And second, I need to remember that this place, this planet, this current circumstance I'm going through, it's all temporary. It's going to pass. It's not going to last forever. Thank God we don't have to live on earth forever. We weren't meant to live in an imperfect place forever. We were meant to live in a perfect place called heaven forever. So don't get too caught up in this fallen world. I'm talking about the fashions and the values and the popularity contests and the fads and the things that come and go, because nothing that you see here is going to last forever except God's word and people. Everything else is going to vanish one day. Now, the pain you're going through right now, here's the good news. You're not going to have to put up with it for eternity. Even if you had that pain for the rest of your life, it's not going to be as long as you're going to have in eternity. The Bible says in Hebrews, this world is not our home. We're looking forward to our everlasting home in heaven, where there is no pain, no problem, no sorrow, suffering, or sickness, or sadness. It's not an accident that you're listening to me right now. In fact, 1,000 years before you were born, God knew that this point in your life, on this day, at this moment, you would be hearing the sound of my voice. And the reason God wanted to get your attention was so he could get you to sit still long enough that he could say this to you. Are you ready? This is from God. You matter to me. You matter to me. I made you. I created you. I love you. There's never been a moment of your life that I didn't love you. I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. I care about it all, and I want to shower you with my grace. I want your past to be forgiven. I want you to get a purpose for living, and I want to give you a home in heaven. Turn to me. I sent my son to you that he may not just save you, but that he may live in you and through you on a moment-by-moment basis. If you've never understood that, and you'd like to know more about it, go to my website, rickwarren.org, and check the tab that says Know God. And you'll find there a guide and a video that explains more about how to begin this wonderful relationship with God that you were created to have, that you were meant to have, that you were designed from eternity to have. I'm not talking about a religion. I'm talking about a relationship with Christ. It's the reason God made you. He wants you to know him like he knows you. And by the way, if you step across the line spiritually and you invite Jesus Christ into your life and you begin a God-centered, God-honoring life, living by grace, letting God teach you on a daily basis, let me know about your decision. Write to me, rick@rickwarren.org, and let me know of your decision so I can pray for you, encourage you, and help you understand more about this incredible decision you just made. And don't forget to join me tomorrow as we continue to study God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and listeners like you.